we all would agree that we're living in the best of times, right? And yet it could be the worst of times. You know, when we have so much suffering in the world, it's hard to believe that this past little over a year, since the uprising in Syria, over 100,000 people died, which is senseless. We made a trip to Europe. It was a good trip, but it was a hard one. We were leaving. One of the hardest things. A brother in the early 40s comes up to you and says, "Take me to America." He had brain tumor. "What do you do?" "What do you do? How do you leave him behind?" We were at the convention in Makachevo there. There were over 400 brethren. And one of the scriptures that came up, it came up so many times there, New York class, Los Angeles, and other places. And that scripture was, "The whole world groans and travails in pain, waiting." The subject that PA had is on waiting on the Lord, waiting for the sons of God. But it says, not only is the world waiting, but we also. We groan within ourselves, Paul says, waiting for our change. One place we stayed in Europe, we'd get up in the morning, and here's this sister sitting beside the kitchen window. She's totally blind in one eye, and she can only see 10% on the other, has diabetes. And she sits there all day, keeps looking, waiting for her insulin to be taken after so many hours. You know, the world is in bad shape. It's in bad shape. But we're so grateful for the messages that which have been presented here this day and yesterday, that we have such a wonderful living hope. 1 Peter 1:3 tells us this. 1 Peter 1:3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a living hope." That's why you brethren are here. You have that living hope. Although the devastation you had last year, it didn't in anywhere discourage you. You're back. And then Romans 15 verse 4 tells us this. "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of scriptures might have hope." Might have hope. Ephesians 1:18. "The eyes of your heart being enlightened, that you may know the hope of His calling." Colossians 1:5. "For the hope that is laid up for you in heaven." Romans 5:2. "Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer." Romans 12:12. That blessed hope, brethren, the hope for us. Seeing that we have such a hope, we use great boldness of speech. And our duty is to our mission. As Brother Russell writes in a lot of his inside cover of the Watchtower, "To us the scriptures clearly teach." Brother Russell left us a legacy. What is the mission of the church? What is our mission? we're to preach the gospel worldwide. And we are thankful for a hope like this, brethren. Every one of us are glad that we have such a hope. We're called out of darkness into this marvelous light. We're called out from the kingdom of this world into a kingdom of Son. You and I have this rejoicing hope, a hope that has given direction to our life as we studied here this day, a hope that has given us direction for ourselves, but not only for ourselves, brethren, but also we have a wonderful hope for all Adam's race. One reason I think the truth means so much to us is because it's through the truth that we have learned of God's love to all the families of the earth. We never knew that before, but we do now. But how can imperfect creatures such as we have such a wonderful hope, such a living hope? Why? Because of the exceeding great and precious promises of God's Word. We have faith in these promises, and the faith is the basis of the things hoped for. Our hope is a well-grounded hope, brethren, because the foundation is the Word of God. Its assurance, the promises that the Word, in 2 Corinthians 4:8, reads this way. We look not for the things that are seen, but for the things that are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal. And you know, brethren, we thank God our hope is for the eternal things. Of all the forces that make for rejoicing Christians, none is more powerful than having a living hope. Hope gives courage, brethren. And who can be a soldier of the cross without the courage of expressing his convictions in the spirit of meekness and humility? But what is hope? How can we define it? Let us try. In the New Testament, the word hope always refers to something good. Hope has a step, it's radiant, it's countenance, it's so brilliant. Hope is something so gladsome, something that's based upon our fate. Hope is a keen desire for a good thing and an earnest expectation of receiving it. We hope for that which we desire. What do you and I desire? What does the world desire? The world desires life. So do we. We're not any different. But we desire everlasting life. What else do we desire? We desire to see Him as He is. And you and I desire to be faithful unto death. We desire that we may receive the happy end of our hope. The Greek word for hope is pictured as expectation, as with an uplifted, upstretched. And again, hope is on, which is we travel towards it, towards the sun rise. It casts the shadow of our burdens beside us, behind us. We need hope for living, for more than just dying. We've seen a program on television which says that dying is easy, but living a good life is hard. And this is our trials this day and every day. We want to fulfill that covenant that we made with the Lord to be faithful unto that. Not only do we desire that for ourselves, but we desire it for the world as well. It matters very little what happens in our lives, but it matters a lot of how we live our lives. It matters so much how we live. We want to strive for the earnestly prayer for a clear vision of our greater object of our hope, because it matters so much in our life. Yes, hope may be based upon faith. Credulity may rest upon words and opinions of men, but the true faith and hope must be based upon the words of the promises of God. We can say that our hope is progressive. I'm sure the first time that you have heard the truth message, you loved it. You loved that message. Some of you were born in the truth because of your parents, but many of you were not. Many of us probably come from Catholic backgrounds. Greek Catholics, Greek Orthodox, and different walks of religious life. Many of you have access to the computer. If you have a time sometimes, type in statistics and see how many religious organizations you have in the world today. It's amazing. And they keep developing more and more. There's over 4,000. So there's your choice. And if you don't like any one of those 4,000, the Satan, the devil, has another one for you. And it started in California a number of years ago. It's called the Church of Satan. When we went to Europe, when we went to Poland, we asked him about that. He says, oh yes, we have it here in Poland already. It's amazing. And no wonder Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4:4, that's why Satan is the god of this world. He has it all fixed up. He thinks he does anyway, as we heard over the platform here. Aren't you happy? The Lord has called you out of darkness to this marvelous light. What a hope that is. But what's nice about the whole thing, that you, brethren, have presented your bodies a living sacrifice. It's a wonderful service. Somebody was showing me pictures at the back there of the conventions that were held here. Not here, but in this area. And we happen to see Grandfather Gawlick on that picture. He was an old pioneer. And they would come here in a pilgrim service. Him and many others from Winnipeg. Brethren from Chicago, from Detroit. But you know, brethren, that got us on the right foot to study the Word of God. And we thank Him for it too. We thank Him for it. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. John 14:6. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And in the realization of that great truth, brethren, this is life eternal, that I might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Faith, however, must precede this, and I know from no better text how our faith and hope develop and matures. Then we go through Romans 5 and verses 1 to 5. Romans 5, 1 to 5. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom also we have access by faith into that grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Faith, justification, peace with God, standing in grace. And this leads to rejoicing in the hope of glory. But we must read on. Verses 3 and 4 and 5. Not only so, glory in tribulations. This is so true. This is true. Also knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit which giveth unto us. We said that there's all these religions in the world. Just think how fortunate you are. And the reason is, you have that measure of the Holy Spirit. All those religions, they do understand the concept, the philosophy of the ransom. His friends, the Jehovah's Witnesses, don't understand it. They don't understand it. It's a shame. But you do. What a hope that is. It's a blessed hope. Because that's one of the most important doctrines that Brother Russell had given us in the Bible to understand the ransom. And the other was the two salvations. These verses in Romans show us our hope matures. And although, yes, tribulation comes, tribulation develops patience and so on, and through experiences directed by His providence. But we now have a mature hope. A hope that maketh not ashamed. Because an empty hope may be put to shame. But not our hope. Why? Because it is based upon the tribulation experiences of the narrow way. It is proven to us by the Holy Spirit. It is given to us by the Holy Spirit. And we know that we can depend upon His love and His promises because we have a living hope. It's not dead hope. It's a living hope. Ours is a wonderful hope. But it will be tested. No doubt about it. Our love will be tested for one another. Our faith, our loyalty is tested. And so is our hope will be tested. We may be tempted to become very discouraged because we do not see God's plan develop as quickly as we think it should. Brother Bill mentioned that, and I had also supported that fact, that it's human nature. You want something to happen quickly, right? Today. It's going to happen in our lifetime. Is there anything wrong with that? No. That's a wonderful hope. Because we know it will happen. And so our loyalty is tested. And so is our hope tested. We know that in the past many brethren were discouraged because of that. Some things didn't happen the way they wanted in their time. And they were discouraged. But we need patience, brethren. We all do. I'm one of them that wants things done right now. Quick. What are we going to eat for dinner tonight? I want to know. I'm not here. As we await for our fulfillment of our hopes, the way is rough, isn't it? It's rougher than many of us expected. We thought that our tests would come from the world, and certainly not from the members of the body. But it does come from within, as the questions were asked here concerning the things that can happen. What would we do? But the point is, brethren, we should continue to wait on the Lord. Watch and pray. He will guide and direct us. The way is long, yes, we know, longer than we expected. To us it may seem to tarry, but we know that according to His plan, it will not tarry, brethren. Let us patiently wait. Waiting is patience. Patience is waiting. The Bible likens our hope to an anchor sometimes, like a ship in a storm may drop its anchor for safety. That's true. Hebrews 6:19. Which hope we have is an anchor to the soul, both sure and steadfast, of which entered into that within the veil. If we would like to go, if we let go of our hope, what happens? It'd be like a ship cutting loose from its anchor and begins to drift on the shoreless sea. But our hope is an anchor, brethren, to our spiritual life. Our hope is strong. We want it to be strong. If our hope is strong, our hope will hold beyond the veil. We all know that before long we will be on the other side. The church will be complete. We cannot tell how soon will it be. Jesus says, if you see these things coming about, you know that your deliverance draweth nigh. Many of you probably watch news and you watch the political system probably sometimes of what's happening in the world. There's a scripture that you all know. And you maybe sometimes wonder, what does it really mean? It says, hold back the four winds. Hold back the four winds until I've sealed 144,000. Oh, there's been different opinions on the four winds. I have my opinions. It doesn't mean they're right. But we can always speculate. I think one of the winds is the financial structure of the world. Don't let them collapse. Don't let the financial structure go down until I've sealed 144,000. Don't let the economic system go down, not yet. And we can see the world is in bad shape financially, isn't it? Bad shape. Even China's feeling it. What's the next wind? The political structure. Don't let the political structure fall until I've sealed 144,000. The world's in a bad state politically. Everybody's looking at America, what she's going to do. And what's the fourth wind? The church-state systems. The religious systems of the world. Don't let them fall yet. Hold them back. Don't loosen them because it creates a whirlwind. We see in the news a lot of things happening amongst churches, amongst religion. You're probably going to see it on television, on the news from time to time. The Jehovah's Witnesses are having a problem. I think they're having it in Australia too, Ray. They're having it in Canada. It appeared on W5 News. It appeared in the Toronto Star. I wouldn't want you to read it because it's terrible. It's happening in the States. It's happening throughout the world. The report came out in Canada, on the Canadian news, that there's approximately, could be as high as 20,000 JWs are involved in molestation of young children throughout the world. I didn't want to tell you this, but It's not something that's something good to think about or to brag about. It's not. But we can see how the religious faith is being tested. And how important it is for us to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Be careful. Take note. Remember the Lord said, when you see these things come about, hold up your head for your deliverance, draw it nigh. Yes, we're living in some awful times too. In Hebrews 6:11 we read, "It is my heart's desire that each of you will continue to manifest the same earnestness to attain the fullness of hope even to the end." Regardless, brethren, of when the end shall be, we know that His plan will not fail. Bill mentioned today about the chart of the ages. We see how God's plan is being unveiled. We're getting so close. When you see these things happening, yes, lift up your heads where the deliverance draweth nigh. Stay faithful, brethren. They that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Is what you had today. Keep that in mind. Keep that in mind. In Thessalonians 1:3 we read, "Remembering without ceasing your work of faith, your labor of love and patience of hope." And again in Colossians 1, 4 and 5, we have these three scriptures. Faith, love and hope united as three. They're principal graces of our Christian life. Brother Andy, you mentioned that today. These graces are inseparable. They're related. For there can be no hope without faith and love. No. But you combine these three, they make a noble beginning. Here the apostle speaks of faith as expressed in activity of service. While the labor of love was manifested in the attitude of the Thessalonians toward their brethren in expressions of love, their faith had caused them to go beyond their own borders in their extension work. And so it is with us, brethren. When we want to do as much as we can in proclaiming the gospel message worldwide. If it's by word of mouth, by telephone, by newspaper, we have wonderful results that come from around the world looking at literature on different subjects. It's surprising that we're getting a lot of responses from Russia. We get responses from Africa. We get responses from India. I'm really happy and glad that there are brethren that can make trips to go to some of these countries to present the gospel message. Brethren that go down to India. They've been there several times. Brethren like Ray and Sue were able to go to Philippines a number of times. And those brethren need help. Always. Brethren that go to Africa, like Brother Homer Montague. He goes to Ghana. And they order a lot of literature from there, those brethren, from Nigeria and Ghana and other parts of Africa. Brother Homer mentioned in his discourse, one of the conventions, that there are approximately, which came out on the National Health News, approximately 6,000 people in Africa die per day from various diseases, etc. 6,000 per day. It's hard to believe that. And then if you look at the statistics, throughout the world, 250,000 die per day. Did you ever calculate if we have how many people in the world that have lived and died since Adam? Brother Russell one time said that probably 40 billion. There's the Carnegie Institute that says it could be as high as 60 billion. But when they had the question, if you spread them equally throughout the world, no cities, how many people would you have per square mile? And the answer was less than 200. That's not very much, is it? So there's room for more population. The Lord knows how long. Who said it? The Lord knows it all. Somebody said that today, didn't they? The Lord knows. You know, brethren, you have been such a, should we say, the backbone of the truth. You here in this hall, back of how much you have done and what you have done. What have you done to make the Lord happy? Very happy. Is it because of your stand for your faithfulness, for the hope that you have that no one else has? We all need encouragement, brethren. Timothy's report to Apostle Paul showed that the Thessalonians were actuated by love one towards the other. They had learned that it was more blessed to give than to receive. And so, brethren, then everywhere, it need to be comforted and encouraged, because besides that love we owe to all men, there is a particular love due to all the saints. Somebody mentioned that yesterday or today, that we must love all the saints, we must love one another. Our Lord left that commandment. Notwithstanding smaller points, but some of the weaknesses which are in ourselves. We all need sympathy, that's true. We all need understanding. As now as then, we need warnings to resist the devil and his acknowledgments, his encroachments upon us. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 11 to 14, gives us a good lesson. Another, build one another up. Comfort the faint-hearted. They need our love too, and we all are faint-hearted at times. I'm sure that a year ago you all were faint-hearted here, and you needed support of the prayers of the brethren to give you encouragement, to keep from falling. And so, thus love labors, that's true, it exhorts, it warns, it comforts, it encourages. Seeing yet that we have such a hope, brethren, and so we want to use this great plainness of speech, which the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 3:12 gives us. And besides this, let us remember the text that says, the patience of hope. Hebrews 10:36 reads, for ye have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, that you might receive the promise. And also remember 1 Thessalonians 4:13 to 18, as the way is best. that we can express it. Yes, at all times when we become impatient in awaiting the fulfillment of our hopes, but because of the impatience, even though we may not have analyzed the cause, we may indulge in speculations, nothing wrong with that, that's human nature, concerning many times, even to the date when our glorification of the church. When is the new covenant going to begin? And so on. We all have speculations. The point is that we wait upon the Lord and we watch and pray. We know we're living in days of His presence. We know that we are of those who are alive and remain. And we can see these things happening. Something else that you can sometimes study in class. How many times was David anointed? 3 times, right? Do you think it has any meaning? Think about it. It'll be something for the elders to study. It's all in the Bible. The scriptures are there. You can present that to your class meetings. Another good study is, what is the difference between knowing something about God and knowing God? You could spend weeks on that. What is the difference between knowing something about Jesus and knowing Jesus? A lot of people know something about God, don't they? Or about our Lord Jesus. But do they really know Him? Sad to say, it's no. It's no. Time is coming to a close. Yes, our times are in His hands, brethren. We cannot change His arrangements. Let us not try to. One of the things that some of their older brethren used to tell us, which is so true, you probably will agree with it. Don't run ahead of the Lord, but follow the Lord. Sometimes we run into a problem by running ahead of the Lord, telling the Lord what to do. And I thought that's a good lesson. Don't run ahead of the Lord, but follow the Lord. And He'll direct our steps, He'll direct our paths, which way we should go. Brethren, when this convention comes to a close, what are we going to take home? What can we take home to our ecclesias, to our classes, that we can share with them something? And you have your notes here that you can take home convention. You have notes on the symposium. You have notes from the discourses which are still coming up. And I think you'd love to share that with your class, because they'd like to hear how brethren are coming along. They'd like to know something about you. How firm are you standing in the truth? And you have this patience of hope. Yes, we all agree the time is short. On this we all agree. And we want to rejoice in the truth, brethren. Don't give up. And love Him. We will serve Him for eternity. Don't forget. So let Him decide when our change will come, brethren. In the meantime, let us be watchful. Let us be alert. Let us earnestly desire the speedy fulfillment of our hope. Let us be more interested in our making our calling election sure. Let us not be weary. We had that subject today. Let us run. And now there's one last text that I want to leave you. James 5, verses 7 and 8. Brethren, be patient, therefore. Behold, the farmer waited for the precious fruit of the earth, has long been patient for it, until he received the early and latter rain. Be also patient. The farmer waits patiently for the time of the harvest. And you and I want to do the same. Let us mature. Let us be able to admit to our own hearts things haven't come as we expected and when we expected. But that a farmer can wait for a crop of corn, surely you and I can wait for the crown of life. Let us wait upon the Lord. Continue to wait and hope and pray. Let us maintain our living hope. Let us wait the Lord's time for its consummation. If we do, not too distant future, you and I will reap if we faint not, and the rest of the way can be best of all the ways. Psalms 27:14, I like that scripture. It fits so well on the subject that we've had here, even on the panel. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He will strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And my prayer on your behalf is, brethren, when we leave this convention, that in some way, somehow, that God's Holy Spirit guide you, that we can all be at that marriage supper. May the Lord add His blessing.